in verse 13. Really, it's the triune God. It's true of all of them. It's true of the Father. It's true of the Son. It's true of the Holy Ghost. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you know that we have a mediator tonight? We have a mediator because the Father sent his Son into the world that he might make a propitiation for our sins, that he might bear the wrath of God, that he might take upon him the curse that rested upon his people, and Jesus willingly came and bore that wrath. You know, that's an incredible thing to think about. When you turn to that 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, when he begins to describe this in verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, y'all know what a winepress is? You put the grapes in, and then this big screw-like thing is turned and tightened until it just lowers, lower and lower and lower to squeeze out all the juice. Jesus was in the wine press of the wrath of Almighty God. It came down tighter and tighter and tighter until it squeezed the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely for us. Now think about something that's fierce. This is the fierceness of the wrath of God. You know why it's hard for us to wrap our mind around that? Because the wrath of God is so awesome, my dear brethren, we'll never have to know it because Jesus experienced it for us. If I could relate to that fierceness of that wrath, that means I would be in hell forever. And then I could tell you just how fierce it was, but I'll never know it. And you'll never know it if you're a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, because Jesus Christ bore for you. We have a wonderful mediator in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know this verse in verse 13? It says that there's nothing about you that you can hide. Y'all ever want to hide any thoughts? There's a lot of things about us that cause us a lot of insecurities and things we want to deal with and things that we build a lot of baggage for with our lives because we look at ourselves and say, there's so many things I want to change. How do I perceive myself? And how I perceive myself sometimes is what I'm afraid of or fear that others perceive me as, but most of the time it's just building sandcastles in my mind because it's never reality. But I built them anyway. You know what that is? It's just baggage. It's baggage that we drag around with us all our life long. You know, there's something wonderful about this. The Lord Jesus Christ knows us better than we will ever know ourselves. He sees all of our warts. He sees all of our blemishes. He sees all of our fears. He sees all of our insecurities. He sees all the things that we would love to change about ourselves. And here's the wonderful thing. He loves me anyway. Though he knows me in and out more perfectly and more thoroughly than I know myself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows me so well. He knows you so well. And he loves you still. Now that's a wonderful thing. You might be saying tonight, well, I really don't need a mediator. I don't need a high priest. But I tell you, if you really know yourself tonight, you will know that's not true. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need a mediator. And you need a high priest. You know, we build all this baggage and sometimes we get to thinking that, you know, if I could just move over here or go over here and leave where I am and it'd all be okay. And we get over there and we finally got this. You know why that is? Because we didn't drop the baggage. We just keep dragging it around with us wherever we go. But the Lord Jesus Christ can set us free from all the baggage that we drag around in life. This is why he could say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest." You know, we love to see your lives built on a wonderful foundation. We're praying for you and teaching you and hoping that you will build your life on a very strong foundation. And this foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Corinthians, there is no other foundation that can be laid but this foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there to give us rest. Now, when you build your life together with a young man and a young woman, and you start that life and that marriage out in the rest of Jesus Christ, isn't that a wonderful way to start out? To be able to build your marriage and to build your family and to build your house in the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that he gives us. Do you want that tonight? I hope you do. And if you do, there's a place you can find it. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We have a high priest. He says, "Drop all your baggage. I love you just like you are." Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, Paul made a very interesting statement. The Lord Jesus Christ is out of our sight. He's in heaven behind the veil. The heavens hide him tonight. But Paul made a very interesting statement in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." By his life. He saved us by his death. But Paul says, "Much more shall we be saved by his life." What does he mean by that? He's talking about his all-prevailing intercession in heaven. He's alive in heaven. And being much more alive, then he shall much more save us in his intercessory work in heaven. Now, we got a good example of that in Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he says in verse 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." You know, I love that little word "fail" there. When you look it up, it's talking about the cessation of physical life. Now, when my physical life ceases, where am I going to be? I'm going to be pushing up daisies. I'm going to be in the ground because I've died. But this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, your faith will never die because I have prayed for you. You know, our faith has struggles. It can rise up to the mountaintops and then it can just be dashed down into the depths. It's like we're on a roller coaster so much of the time, up and down. But there's one thing about our faith. No matter how low it may go, it will never die because you have a high priest who's praying for you and is going to see you all the way to glory. Do you need a high priest? I don't know about you, but I do. And his name is Jesus Christ. He intercedes for us. He keeps our faith alive. He keeps it, my dear brethren, where it will never go out of existence. Now this same man, Peter, failed. He failed. Jesus told him he would, but he denied it. And he said, though all men should forsake thee or deny thee, yet I never will. And that very night, when the cock began to crow, turned to Jesus. Jesus was already with him. And it says he went out and wept bitterly. Now in our life, we're going to find that we fail so many times. And it's like Peter right here. And we get like that sometimes. In the 21st chapter of John, and beginning in verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of the disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now what did Jesus call them from? Fishing. They were never to go back to it, to earn a living. They were to follow him, drop it all. But I tell you, sometimes when we sin, following Jesus becomes very hard and very difficult. We don't want to be around God's people. We just kind of want to sink out of sight somewhere. And so I find that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says in this word, go, I go a fishing. You see, when you look that up in Vines, there's 30 different Greek words that could have been used, but the Holy Ghost shows this one. This word, go, is defined as this. To go away. Withdraw oneself, often with the idea of going without noise, notice, and by stealth. Strong's defines it like this, to retire as if sinking out of sight. And you know, sin can get us that way. We feel so guilty. We just want to sink out of sight someplace. And that's what Peter felt like. He denied the Lord three times. He sinned. He messed up. He failed. But you know, we have a wonderful Savior that would not let him go. I'm so thankful that he won't let you go tonight. You may feel like you've run from him, but he's going to find you no matter where you are, because we have a wonderful shepherd that seeks his sheep. He sought this sheep. They're out there rowing on the sea, catching nothing. And then Jesus calls to them and says, children, have ye any meat? We've toiled all night and caught nothing. Well, cast your net on the right side. They began to pull in so many fish. There was a huge net full of them. And John said, it is the Lord. Peter dived off that boat and was the first one to land, began to drag that net in, and there were 153 fish there. And Jesus already had something cooking on the coals. Then he began to reach out and to touch Peter and to draw out of him and to heal that hurt, that sin, and forgive it and restore him. restore him to the point, my dear brethren, that in the third chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find him preaching and saying to these people in verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him. What did Peter do? He denied him. And you know, sometimes when we sin, it's hard for us to go back over that same thing and even name the very thing we were guilty of. But there's something wonderful about the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ that lets us get rid of the past. We can go forward in serving the Lord. And Peter was able to do that here. You denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. You may not need a high priest tonight, but I need a shepherd and a high priest. Because I'm a man so prone to selfishness and failings that I need somebody that can carry me before the throne of Almighty God. And that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious mediator, our friend, our brother, our great high priest, who's ascended into the heavens and now is pleading for you, keeping your faith alive, strengthening you as you go along this sin-cursed world. And what a glorious Savior we have in our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. And I want you to build your life and your marriage and your family on this rock. And may the Lord bless you in that progress.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.